His mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The title for today's message is No Fear. The text is taken from Malachi chapter 3 and 4. The sermon outline in your bulletin insert. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When my son Nicholas, about 4, he came back from school one day. When I asked him to clean up his toy before the dinner, he answered, "No fear." This was the first time he used this phrase. Since then, I have heard it very frequently in our home, "No fear." In Malachi chapter 3, we are told that the people of Judah complained to God. They basically said, "It is not fair." They said, "It is vain to serve God. What is the benefit of our keeping his charge or walking as a mourning before the Lord of hosts?" They argued that the righteous were not rewarded and the wicked were not punished. Yes, evildoers even seem to benefit from their ways. The experiences of the people were the exact opposite of the prosperity that they felt they had been promised. It did not pay to be righteous. In those days, the arrogant were deemed blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Why is that so? "It's just not fair," they grumbled. Does this sound familiar? The phrase "no fear" is around us all the time. What is the benefit of being a Christian? Some may say, "On Sunday, I have to go to church," but many go to play soccer or hockey. They are having fun. Or, "My friends recently bought a new house or new car, but we are still struggling just to put food on the table." Even we may ask, "Why is my life such struggle? Why do some get more support than I do? Why am I always the one asked to take on more responsibilities?" We have said, "No fear," haven't we? But is God really being unfair? Is he going back on some promise he has made? Not at all. Jesus himself told us, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Yes, in this sinful world, we will have hardships and inequality. But Jesus said we can trust him because he is more powerful than whatever this sinful world throws at us. When we think God is being unfair, the problem is with our viewpoint, not with his action. God says in Isaiah 55, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." If that is not enough to comfort us, God comes right out and says, "Be still and know that I am God." It sounds like a father speaking to his upset children saying, trust me. I know what I'm doing. I will take care of you. I love you. Trust me. But there is our problem. There is our sin. We do not always trust our Father, our God. Like some teenagers, even though they know their parents love them, they still feel they know better and insist on doing their own things. It's not fear. It's a common teenage expression. We all hear it and probably also said it when we were at that age. We know that God's goodness to us is a completely undeserved gift. And yet, we have all entertained the thought that we have earned some special favor from Him. And when we look with envy at sinners and think they are the lucky ones, aren't we the worst of hypocrites? What would be the fair thing for God to do with us? Let us see what God said through Ezekiel when his people accused him of being unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you, everyone according to his ways. It seems the only fair thing for God to do is to charge us of treason and find us guilty and condemn us to death, eternal death in hell. This is the punishment we have earned for ourselves each and every time we have questioned God's fairness, rebelled against Him, and in fact, shown our unbelief. Thanks be to God, His logic is not our logic. God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We can be thankful that in the end, God is unfair. He is merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. God is so merciful, and He loves us so much. John 3:16 tells us how He found the way of salvation for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Also, verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Rather than carrying out our death sentence, God leads us to repentance. He says in the book of Ezekiel, repent and turn from your transgressions, lest the iniquity be your ruin. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. God wants us to acknowledge our sin and fear the threat of His punishment. God's threats lead us to sorrow over our sin. His powerful promises turn sinners from sin to a new life of peace and hope. You see, repentance is not our work. It is God's work in our hearts. Malachi tells us, there were people who feared the Lord and spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And the book of remembrance was written before Him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. These people recognized that it was a serious offense to accuse God of any wrongdoing. The power of God turned them to repentance and salvation. Just as their name were written in the book of remembrance, so through baptism, our names have been written in the book of life. This is exactly what God did for little Olivia Riley today in her baptism. In baptism, God put his name on us. He drowned our old sinful self and gave us new life. From the day of our baptism, we belong to him, sealed with Christ. He made us his own. We are his treasured possessions. This is not because of anything in us, but because the Lord is the God of all compassion. He sent his Son Jesus to trade places with our sinners. If there is one person God was ever unfair to, it is Jesus, his beloved Son. He went to his death on the cross for our sins. He took our place. He is the only one who lived a perfect life in thought and deed. But who gets the credit for all his holiness? You and I. In God's eyes, Christ's righteousness covers all our ugliness. Christ's sacrifice paid for our debt of sin in full. Yes, Jesus is the one who could have complained, but he didn't. Instead, he joyfully submitted to the Father's plan and went to an ugly death on that cross. Instead of no fear, his cry was, "It is finished." Not only that, he rose from the dead and now lives to bring us home to heaven. Sin is still around and within us. Repentance is still a daily necessity. But we are not left to ourselves. God's Holy Spirit guides us into his truth. God gathered us around his word and sacraments in order to nourish us and keep our name in his book of remembrance. In worship, God serves us his holy word, the forgiveness of sins, and the Lord's Supper, the true body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Every time we gather in our Lord's name, we enjoy his presence and respond with praise and thanksgiving. What a wonderful gift we have been given. What is a foretaste of heaven? It may be true that people who don't go to church have some temporary fun, like those on the sports field across the street in Mineral Park every Sunday morning. However, as Christians with our Lord, we have eternal joy. That joy is not a temporary feeling depending on our circumstances, but an eternal reality based on the true hope we have in Christ. Our Lord is blessing us in ways we never imagined, and ways we sometimes don't even understand. But on Judgment Day, everything will be perfectly clear. God says in Malachi chapter 4, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming should set them ablaze, said the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts." So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us stop acting and thinking as if God is not fair. Let us not sin against our Heavenly Father by envying the ungodly or wondering whether there is any benefit to serve God. A repentant and humble heart is the one that truly worships God. It is open to receive all the goodness he has to offer. If anyone ever said to you, "God is unfair," you can say, "Yes, you are right. If God was only fair, we would get what we deserve because of our sin. We would get eternal punishment. But because God is merciful to us sinners and he's unfair for Christ Jesus, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. God also raised him again on the third day for our victory. Thank be to God for his mercy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.